We're starting our Hoshana Rabbah learning, so the first thing we should learn about is what is this Hoshana Rabbah? Really? So tonight is really the last night we have a mitzvah to sleep in the sukkah, to be in the sukkah. Tomorrow's our last day in the sukkah. Hasidim have a custom of having a parting meal with the sukkah tomorrow. Hoshana Rabbah has many, many different facets to it. From a simple perspective, Hoshana Rabbah is the last day of Chol HaMoed. Tomorrow night is the last festival of Sukkot. If you're in Chutz Lars, you keep 2 days. You have Shmini Atzeres and then Simchat Torah. But for all intents and purposes, tonight is the last night of Sukkot. So even though I'm not going to be home till midnight tonight, when my kids said, "Abba, we want to sleep in the sukkah," I couldn't fight them. What am I going to say? The last night they can't sleep in the sukkah. It's the last night. And this is an amazing mitzvah if we think about it. Just a thought for a second. Let's look at how the Jewish year starts. We begin with Rosh Hashanah, which is a declaration Hashem is king, right? So it's like creation. Man was created. The first minutes of creation, the Medrash says, all the animals noticed Homo sapien, this human form that was godlike. It says that the ball of Adam's ankle, right? You have this little ball protruding from your ankle, gave off, radiated more light than the sun, whatever that means. It means the smallest part of him, I mean, he was a godly figure. It says all the creatures on planet Earth rushed up to him and started bowing to him. They all thought he was God. And Adam said, "I'm not God. Wait, stop. Don't bow to me. Let's all bow to Hashem together." And so the first thing Adam HaRishon did on Rosh Hashanah was teach all of planet Earth that we have to bow before Hashem, that we are all here as servants of Hashem. And so on Rosh Hashanah, we start our year with a declaration. Hashem is king. We don't spend time on Rosh Hashanah talking about our own needs. Then we have from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur to deal with the fact that we are human. And just like Adam HaRishon in his first day messed up, right? He ate from the forbidden fruit. And so we take our first 10 days of the year to deal with the human foibles, the human weaknesses, our faults. And we work up to Rosh Hashanah, the holiest day of the year. Look at how we start the year. We're working up to the holiest day of the year where finally we gain atonement. And then we go from Yom Kippur, a day in which we deal with our humanity, but our capacity to grow to be like angels, right? On Yom Kippur, suddenly we say, let's put our humanity on the side. I don't have to eat. I spoke to a relative of mine who underwent a serious surgery last year. And this relative told me, he said, you know, Yom Kippur this year was different than any other year because I had to eat. Medically, I'm not allowed to fast any day more than 2 hours. So he had to eat. He said to me, you know what Yom Kippur is like coming to shul on a full stomach? He said, it's so hard. You come to shul on a regular Yom Kippur, your stomach's empty. Part of the holiness you feel is because you've overcome your humanity. You say, I'm not eating today. And then when you walk into davening, it's a different davening because you are a greater being on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you do take control of your desires and your inclinations. And you say, I'm going to do what's right today. I'm not eating. I'm not showering. I'm not doing what I shouldn't be doing today. And you walk into Yom Kippur differently. He said, I walked into shul on a full stomach. I look around me. Everyone else is fasting. I just had a full breakfast. Now let's go connect to the tefillah. He said to me, you know how hard it is? I had to work on myself to connect. Suddenly, there's a huge component that's missing from my Yom Kippur. I never thought of it that way. So Yom Kippur, we work our way up from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah was the general declaration, Hashem is king of the world. Yom Kippur is the declaration, you are my king. And I even though I've messed up, I still take you as my king. And I ask forgiveness for what I've done wrong. And I beseech you to forgive me and help me build a better year coming up. Then we walk into Sukkos. And Sukkos teaches us an amazing concept. Here we are sitting in the sukkah. Poor Mr. Dweck is still freezing here, I see. So maybe in a minute we'll walk back into the shul. But it's such an amazing thing that the human being can enter a mitzvah, that a human being can be surrounded by Anane HaKavod. What does the sukkah represent? Every time we sit in the sukkah, we should remember that Hashem surrounded us with these heavenly clouds, and that gives us a concept of how we're going to deal with the turbulence of life. Hey, life seems to be very rough. It's a dog-eat-dog world, or so they say. So maybe you have to watch out for all those dogs out there that are ready to devour you. And then we're taught that in the most pitiful state, the Jewish people down in Egypt were suddenly led out of Egypt in a miraculous way, led through a desert that no man could have survived, let alone 2 million people with children. And they're surrounded by heavenly clouds. And every year we commemorate this and we say, hey, before I set foot and deal with that year I'm about to start, Let me remember, I'm dealing with this year and I'm surrounded, I'm protected, I'm not doing this alone. I didn't just have a Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, I also have a Sukkot that takes me. And suddenly we come to Hoshana Rabbah. And tonight, so that's why Mr. Dweck here, any other Sfaridim among us? Oh, Benny, I forgot. You're Tengmani, no?
I am.
Oh, so that's not Sfaridim, it's not the same thing. Okay, so you're still the only Sfaridim here. So Sfaridim spend the night up reviewing the whole book of Devarim and then saying all kinds of Kabbalistic Zohar things. But us Ashkenazim, so the truth is there's a big, big concept to spend this night learning Torah, because tonight is the grand finale of Yom Kippur, so to speak. We on Yom Kippur, we were sealed and signed, and then there's sort of a final, like a closing of the book that's going to happen tonight. And let me read you just what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and then afterwards we'll discuss a little bit of what goes on tonight. So everywhere else you go in the world, other than Sfaradim, people just daven ma'ariv, eat dinner, and go to bed, right? Go to bed in the sukkah, hopefully, right? And then tomorrow morning they get up, and we have a special davening tomorrow morning. We here at Machon Meir have started this ritual where we learn all night, and then we realize that for Ashkenazim it's not such a good thing to learn all night, because then they're too tired on Simchas Torah, so we cut it short, we're only learning till midnight tonight. Because we realize that it's a very positive experience, but it comes at the expense of Simchat Torah. Simchat Torah in the Machon is a very exciting thing. It's very worthwhile to be awake. So we cut it short. This year we decided, so first year we're cutting it short to midnight. You guys will be on the second to last bus, I hope, at 11:48. I don't want to run for the last bus. So says the Shulchan Aruch, B'yom Shvi'i U'Hoshana Rabbah, Shebo Nagim Na'abot Mizmuin Kmo B'yom Tov. Number one, tomorrow morning you're going to come to Shul. They're going to say Psukei Dezimra. The morning prayer is going to be like on Yom Tov, almost like Shabbos. The only thing is, on Shabbos we end with Nishmas, right? So we do not say, as Ashkenazim don't say Nishmas. I don't know what about Sfaradim. Ashkenazim don't say Nishmas. We do say Mizmor L'Soda, like on a weekday. When we take out the Sefer Torah, we're going to say Shema Yisrael with the tune of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Yeah? And then, how do we go after Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Echad? Echad Elokeinu. Kadosh Vinora Shemo. Just like we say on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Kadosh. And we add the Vinora Shemo. How awesome is his name? On Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, we'll add that too. We have a special Yom Tov tune for the Kaddish after Musaf, so we do that tomorrow as well. And there's a custom not to do work as though it were Yom Tov until we leave Shul. There's a custom, I've never seen anyone do this, but the Rama quotes this custom, that even though on Chol HaMoed we're permitted to do many tasks, you don't do it until you leave Shul in the morning. And let's go on. And we light a few extra candles. And many people have the custom to go to mikveh early in the morning, just like they would go before Yom Kippur. And some wear a kittel to shul, just like on Yom Kippur. Never seen anyone do that. But there is such a custom code in the Rama. I've never seen it. Why? Because we are going to be judged over water tonight. Everything we've been building up to, where we shake the lulav, which corresponds to water, and we did nisuch hamayim, libation of water in the temple, corresponds to water. All of that's going to be tonight. And tomorrow morning, after we shake the lulav in Esrog, we're going to go around the bima 7 times, right? We did it once every day. So on Hoshana Rabbah, that's why it's called Hoshana Rabbah, the great Hoshana, because we're going to do it 7 times tomorrow. 7 times we're going to do all the Hoshanas, almost all the Hoshanas we did, all preceding 6 days plus, and then some. And we're going to say a few different songs about water. So it's going to be a long prayer tomorrow morning. It takes about 2.5 hours. It's an extra hour just to do the surroundings around the bima. And what we do is we take 5 aravos. So you have to buy aravos tonight or tomorrow morning. You take 5 aravos, and the custom is that usually the shamish, the gabai, sells them in shul. That's a prophet that was always set aside for him. And then during the songs that we say, towards the end of the songs, after we've gone around the bima 7 times, we take the aravos and we hit them on the ground 5 times. That's an ancient Kabbalistic custom.
Question?
Yeah.
Can we take them from our lulav?
You could, but we don't.
Oh. I only have five now.
You'll see.
Like when we come in the morning, they'll be selling it there.
For sure.
Yeah, they sell them at the Machon. They sell them on Kiat Moshe. You'll see them throughout. When you get back, you'll see them. So the truth is that the Shulchan Aruch brings an opinion that says you're not Yotze with Arava from the Lulav. But if you take it out of the lulav and you want to use it separately, technically you could. Meaning the idea is when it's in the lulav, when it's tied in the lulav, you're not yotze with that. But if you take it out, you take those two out of the lulav, etc., then you could be yotze with it. But the custom is that we're not. The custom is that we buy five separate ones. so you use after you've shaked your lulav and esrog, and you've said hallel and shaked your lulav and esrog with hallel. Then you're going to take the arava, and we sing with that. Some have the custom that they shake the arava around, just like they would shake the lulav and esrog. And then, and then you'll see where everyone hits it five times on the ground. We have to be careful with our lulav and esrog and adasim and aravos, even though we're not going to use it anymore. But yes, tomorrow we're going to use it for a mitzvah, so you can't eat it. You can't do anything with it. You're allowed to discard it after tomorrow, after Yom Tiv, so it has no holiness. You just shouldn't put it with dirty diapers or something. You got to treat it respectfully. So you put it in a bag, you can put it in the garbage. The custom is that we save the lulav and hadasim and aravos, or at least the lulav, to burn our chametz with. We did one mitzvah with it, we do another mitzvah with it. The Teimanim, Mr. Ovadia, have a custom. They say that if you put your hadasim under your pillow, then that's a skula for having good dreams. I can tell you it's a skula for getting your bed dirty, but I do it every year anyways. I wrap it in a bag and I put it under my pillow because it's I want good dreams. Some people will take their esrog and make jelly out of it.
Right.
And this year, most esrogim were picked before Rosh Hashanah. But if it was picked after Rosh Hashanah, then your esrog has kedusha. Next year's esrog for sure has kedusha of Shemitah in it. But I think every esrog you bought was picked before Rosh Hashanah. But if you're not sure, you have to treat it with holiness. Many people will save the esrog and use it for besamim in Avdalah. And if you're careful with it, that it doesn't get moldy, that your hands are clean when you handle it, it can last you almost till Purim. Some people will put cloves in the esrog, and then it lasts a long time. The esrog with cloves. But you can just save the esrog. I recommend that you slice the esrog open and compare it to a lemon and see the way an esrog is built inside and a lemon is built inside.
You can't contrast.
You
can't really use the esrog as a lemon because you can't get any juice from it.
Right, I didn't mean for that. I mean as an educational experience. Take a bite. Yeah, it has very little juice. That's one of the differences between an esrog and a lemon. I'll tell you what. I will, God willing, bring an esrog or two or three into class. In the beginning of next semester, we'll slice open an esrog, slice open a lemon, and compare and contrast. Usually I do this before Sukkot. This year, someone else gave you the class on esrog before Sukkot. So I ask those of you who can, save your lulav, save your esrog and hadasim, and we'll go over them after Sukkot. We'll be able to look at them and learn the halachos. At least we'll know them. So those of you who can, save it, bring it, and the first Thursday night, God willing, We'll have a class on that. So now there's a little bit more, some secret stuff about what goes on tonight. So give me one second. So Hoshana Rabbah we discussed, right? We discussed the customs of tomorrow morning. Tomorrow night we are going to have Simchas Torah, right? They take the Sefer Torah out. They read from it. We do Hakafos. We dance around the Bima, right? So we know all that. And then on Simchas Torah, we're going to finish the reading of the Torah, and we have a big celebration. We honor someone with the final Aliyah. Everyone tries to get an Aliyah. Everyone should get an Aliyah on Simchas Torah. And then we begin Bereishis, right? So that's Simchas Torah, in a nutshell. We don't sit in a sukkah on Simchas Torah, right?
Right.
Okay. But there's something else. Those who don't shave on Chol Moed generally don't shave tomorrow either, till after Simchas Torah. Right. On Hoshana Rabba, we do. Here we are sitting on Sukkah tonight, right? So that's that. Give me 1 second.
I found one of your minhag of making etrog vodka. So anyone who doesn't want their etrog can just send it my way. Maybe it's a vodka.
Oh.
You're bringing it back.
I was thinking of putting one into a Corona.
No. Make it here.
Oh, you think? I've never tasted an actual vodka.
How does it taste?
It's good.
I had actual juice today.
I've never had that.
Some have the custom when they leave the sukkah, they say, may we merit to sit in the sukkah of the Livyasan.
Is that written there in Mishnah Berurah?
It's in the Ramah.
Oh, it's in the Ramah?
Yeah. You guys say it in the Birkat HaMazon.
Okay.
Very nice.
Look up
okay.
The Ramah.
So, the Ramah here brings a very interesting thing. That on the night of Hoshana Rabba, so there's a Kabbalistic thing that if you go on the rooftop and... What? You'd like to do it? You didn't hear the end of it, did you?
No, don't do that.
One goes on the rooftop and gets undressed.
Oh, fully?
Correct.
Okay.
And looks at his shadow by the moonlight. If all his limbs are intact, then that's a sign that he will live out the year.
This is highly discouraged because it's trying to predict the future.
Oh, right. And if he's missing one of his limbs in his shadow, so then he should know that he's not going to live out the year. So, you know, these aren't the types of things that... right. So, I don't usually talk about EGBG because I don't understand what any of it is. But, right, I don't know what any of this Kabbalistic stuff is. What do I know?
Yeah.
But it is quoted in the Ramah.
Oh.
So, the Ramah does say what someone mentioned here, that we don't try to figure things out, like what Hashem's planning, because we don't know what Hashem's planning. We don't know any of this, right? But at the end of the day, it does say this, and I'll tell you an interesting story. I have a Sephardi friend who told me that his grandfather was a very spiritual person, and every Hoshana Rabbah night, they would give out eggs, 2 eggs per person. He would never eat the 2 eggs because the Talmud says in Tractate Psachim, it's not a good thing to eat things in pairs. So he'd always cut the eggs in half and switch halves with him. And every time, every Hoshana Rabbah night, he would suddenly disappear from the ritual where all his Sfaradim were sitting around saying the Book of Devarim. He'd disappear for a few minutes and come back and... 1 year, he disappeared and came back, and he looked very sad. And that year, he didn't bother asking him to split eggs with him, and that year he passed away. And he said to me that he's sure that what his grandfather used to do was go on a rooftop and do this ritual, and that year, he saw he was missing a limb by the shadow of the moon. So, I don't know what any of this is, but I would not do it. Never done it, and nor would I do it.
So it's not a few.
How are you missing?
I mean, your neighbors might.
That's not the reason I wouldn't do it.
Please don't do it.
I wouldn't do it for other reasons, not because of that.
Amputation is pretty bad.
I don't know if I could look at you the same way again.
Don't worry about it. But I wouldn't do it because I like the Ramah says, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. Let's let Hashem run the show, and we don't have to try and figure out what Hashem is planning. We don't know what any of this is. Here we go. I'll read you the Ramah. Katvu Rishonim, the early commentators write, "Shiyesh siman betzel alvana." There is a sign by the shadow of the moon. I'm reading from the Rama on the Shulchan Aruch. If you look at the shadow of the moon, you could discern what's going to happen to you or your relatives that year. And others write that you shouldn't worry about this today, because it can work the other way around. If you start looking at it, that could harm your luck. The fact that you're looking and then you think, that's it, I'm doomed. Right. And also, says the Rama, because many people don't even understand what this is. And it's a better thing to say, I trust God and I'm going to let him do things and I'm just going to try to be whole with him. The Rama says, I think that people shouldn't spend their time trying to figure out what the future holds. Leave it to God and you do what you have to do. But the Rama does quote it. You know, if the Rama felt it shouldn't be quoted, he wouldn't have quoted it altogether. He does quote it. He says, some say to do this, others say you shouldn't, and I don't think you should do it. But he does quote it. You know, he could have omitted it altogether. So that's why I do like quoting an Anushana Rabba night. But we should be aware there's something going on in heaven tonight. And there is a conclusion of our deen, the decision in heaven of what's going to be with us. And so we're doing a great thing here tonight, learning Torah. What a great merit. We're in a sukkah, where we get a mitzvah that encompasses our whole body, our whole being. Not only our neshama, but our physical body is in a sukkah. So that's just an intro, and with that we can start our Hoshana Rabbah learning. So we said tomorrow morning we're going to go around the Bima 7 times. Shachris is going to be like Yom Tov or Shabbos until Nishmas. We do not say Nishmas as Ashkenazim. I don't know what the Sephardi custom is. And when we take out the Sefer Torah, there'll be a special tune. After Hallel, we're going to go around the Bima 7 times and say Hoshanos. And then we're going to have 5 Aravos, which some shake. And even if you don't shake, other than Lulav and Esrog, you hit those Hoshanos on the ground. We said our Lulav and the 4 species, Lulav, Esrog, Hadassim, and Arava, should be treated with respect. They're used for a mitzvah tomorrow. And even though we finished our mitzvah, they still have holiness till after, till afterwards. And so that's in a nutshell what we need to know about Hoshana Rabbah. Any questions, guys? Okay. So now let's begin.